Howdy, Schnaldy.
This episode is How We Know the Earth is Not Flat, and I'm excited to have my friend Brian here joining in this episode.
Glad to be here.
Brian, as it says clearly in your shirt, you're wearing the March for Science shirt.
March for Science shirt, Washington, D.C., yeah.
April 22nd, never forget. So,
birthday.
Brian, I was so happy you're here because your reaction to when I asked you to join me in the episode was the perfect reason why you should be here in the episode. So we're talking about why the Earth is not flat, and I have a couple examples here, but first off, why don't you tell the folks a little bit of what your educational background is?
So I studied physics and astrophysics at the University of Michigan. Right now, I'm a mechanical engineer working in Ann Arbor here. And as Rishi mentioned, my reaction to doing this podcast was of a bit of disgust because I don't think that this topic should be talked about because everybody should know that the Earth is not flat. We've known for thousands of years that the Earth is not flat. And why the news, you know, people in the news are being put in the news that think that the Earth is still flat or think that there might be any doubt to it is just mind-blowing to me.
Perfect segue. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but perfect segue into some of these examples of celebrities who've got on the news for their discussion points about how the Earth may be flat. And so for the first example here, we have rapper B.O.B., who some of you may know as the guy who is the rapper on the Airplane song. Remember that song, you guys? Can you believe that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now. Feel free to join me, Brian. Wish right now.
It's all you.
Okay, so anyways, that guy. So that guy, in January 2016, tweeted from around New York. He said, he put a tweet here, the cities in the background are approximately 16 miles apart. Where is the curve? Please explain this. And in the picture, he has himself standing in front of, I believe, Manhattan. I'm not sure exactly what his logic of his question is. But anyways, that's besides the point. So he got a lot of reactions to that, including everyone's favorite scientist, astrophysicist, I should say, Neil deGrasse Tyson. So in response to B.O.B.'s comments, he explained via Twitter why B.O.B. should be comfortable in knowing that the Earth is in fact round. he was trying to be a little helpful to him over Twitter. He was pretty cordial, actually, in my opinion. And in response to that, B.O.B. put a diss track out.
That's what rappers do.
Let's listen to a little bit of this.
Neil Tyson need to loosen up his vest. They probably write that man one hell of a check. Hey, I'm over here on this side of town. Come on over here, try to clown. Hey, I never pipe down. If they weren't coming for me, then they definitely coming for me now. I can't even keep my phone charged up. All the shit I'm talking, I should get my home barred up. Rappers, get off of my dick and get your own bars up. Vladimir and Liz's breath got the clone skirt, cuz whoop. Use your common sense. Why is NASA part Department of Defense? They divided up the seas into 33 degrees. Feeding kids masonry, bro. Be careful what you read. Flatline.
Okay, flatline. And then Dr. Tyson, his nephew actually is a rapper and helped Neil deGrasse Tyson put out a response diss track.
Mommy, please, check him for a while or an earpiece, please. Is Donald Trump the one that's feeding you all of these? Stupid bits of information keeps you on your knees. I know we got freedom of speech, but Bobby, please, somebody stop this.
Okay, so that was around January 2016. So that's when I first kind of caught wind that there's people questioning whether the Earth is flat or not. But then more recently, in February 2017, basketball player Kyrie Irving joined fellow NBA players Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson on their podcast, and they discussed the conspiracy theory of aliens, as one does. And then
he came to us. He listens to super conspiracy
yes.
theory guy.
This is not even conspiracy.
The Earth is flat.
Yeah, no, the Earth is flat.
Oh, here we go.
The Earth is flat. Earth is flat. Went
Have you ever had vertigo? The Earth is not flat.
Let's go.
Come on, Kai.
No, I'm just saying
the Earth is not flat.
No, that all these things that particular groups, I won't even pinpoint one group, that they almost offer up this education.
Then to make matters worse, for me and my lovely wife, Banafsa, and also fellow MSU Spartan fans out there, our man Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors, he goes on some local channel or something like that, and he supported Kyrie Irving.
I don't know. I haven't done enough research, but I know it may be flat.
He said, I don't know. I haven't done enough research, but it may be flat.
MSU experience right there.
I can't defend the guy. And so this is exactly where I thought I would jump in with my handy podcast here. Because you know what? It actually turns out that people have done research, Brian. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah. Shocking news. But people have done research to prove that, in fact, the Earth is not flat. And I hope there's people here who are flat Earth questioners. And
I hope there are not.
Okay. Well, this may be some helpful. I found an article published by Popular Science. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes of my podcast, 10 Easy Ways You Can Tell for Yourself That the Earth is Not Flat. So the first one, and just a little side note here, when I first heard about this topic and stuff, the questions, I was like, well, duh, the Earth is round. But then I realized I couldn't go much farther than that. You know, I couldn't really explain. And
yeah, it's nice to have... It's nice to look something, you know, if you think you know something just based on your experience, it's always nice to look it up and see actual examples of what people have actually researched and how people go about proving that the Earth is indeed round.
You exactly.
Know, it seems something like it's something so trivial. It should be, but...
It should be, yeah. Right. Okay, so let's get into it. This is the first way you can tell for yourself that the Earth is not flat. So the first example is the Earth's shadow on the moon. So we have these objects around space, one of which being the Earth and one of which being the moon, which revolves around the Earth. And so Aristotle, our favorite guy, whose last name rhymes with Pottle, Aristotle noticed that the Earth's shadow on the moon during a lunar eclipse is round. So basically, what we have the benefit of doing now, where Aristotle probably couldn't have all the resources at that time, but what you could do is track the Earth's shadow on the moon as it heads towards an eclipse.
Yep, you can definitely see it. It's really easy to just look up and see.
Sure.
That,
yeah. Fair point.
You have it. And but yeah, obviously with a pair of binoculars or something, you can really clearly see that it's a very defined curve, and it would be a straight line if the Earth was some kind of box or square or flat surface or disc.
Right.
It would be a line, not a round surface.
And so if it was hanging the other way, Brian was saying if it's flat, then the shadow would be a line on the moon. But if it was hanging somehow through gravity or whatever the other way, then the Earth's shadow on the moon would just constantly be round, would be like a circular shape. All right. Next way we know that the Earth is not flat. Ships on the horizon. So there's a cool experiment you can do here if you have access to an orange and also to an ant. And so what you do is, so disregarding the experiment for a second, what you do is when you look out over the horizon in an ocean or something and you see a ship approaching you, you'll notice that the ship gradually appears. And I know you have a follow-up on this, Brian, but you'll notice that the ship gradually appears. And if it was flat, then the ship would just appear over the horizon. And so there's an experiment here that the article details where you can take an ant and have it crawl up an orange. And you'll notice that the ant gradually appears, doesn't just quickly appear.
Yep, it would, and going away from you, it would, you know, if it was flat, it would become smaller and smaller and smaller until your eyes couldn't perceive it. But because ships have really tall masts, as they go out into the ocean or the sea, you can actually look from the dock and see that the mast slowly recedes, like vertically. So the ship is actually going down, and it look and that the only way that can happen is if it's going over some sort of curved surface. Otherwise, it would just be smaller and smaller, and you could see the whole ship the whole time. But
right.
Very early explorers knew right away that the Earth was sphere because of that exact effect.
Just the logic of seeing the mast.
Yep.
Okay, the next way you can tell for yourself that the Earth is not flat, which, side note here, this is from our homeboy Aristotle.
And smart guy.
Smart guy, and he discovered all this around 320 BC. So if you are a flat earther, just keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind. You're 2,300 years, you know, behind the times.
Right. Not to make fun, but yeah. So anyways, Aristotle observed that the constellations he could see as you move away from the equator, that there was different constellations he could see as he was traveling away from the equator. So he was on a trip returning home from Egypt. And when he was closer to Egypt, he noticed there were certain constellations in the sky. Then when he returned home to what I believe the article said was Cyprus, he saw different constellations there. And his quote that he had around here, so this is a little paraphrasing, but he said, Aristotle continued and claimed that the sphere of the Earth is of no great size, for otherwise the effect of so slight a change of place would not be so quickly apparent. Meaning the farther you go from the equator, the farther the known constellations go towards the horizon and are replaced by different stars. So Aristotle, our homeboy from 320 BC, never forget. Okay. The next experiment, I've always been fascinated with sundials just from a from an educational thing, because you can track time by just sticking just something in the ground.
It's a very quaint little method of telling time that they had before, before clocks.
Right, and so that's what our homeboy Aristotle was doing, probably, and the other homeboys around, and homegirls, like my lovely wife Vanessa, was doing at that time. All right, so the next note from, once again, the article from Popular Science, 10 Easy Ways You Could Tell for Yourself the Earth is Not Flat. Next note, as we were mentioning briefly before, is sundials. So what you do is, if you want to tell for yourself that the Earth is round, what you do is take two sticks and you put them in two different locations. And the shadow of the stick... So you should do this on a sunny day, you guys. I know you're talking about doing this at nighttime, but make sure you do this on a sunny day, and you take the stick and you measure the length of its shadow, and you the second stick you put somewhere else, and the shadow lengths and characteristics, I don't know about width and all that stuff, but the characteristics of each of those shadows will be different.
The lengths of the shadows will be different.
Lengths of the shadows will be different, yeah. And that's like the key point, yeah. Because if the Earth was flat... then the two sticks and the two different, like regardless of where you're sticking a stick in the ground, because we're all sticking sticks in the ground, but regardless of where you're sticking sticks in the ground, it would produce the exact same shadow if the Earth were flat.
And to elaborate on this, actually, Eratosthenes was this guy who in 2000 BC, he knew the Earth was round and he wanted to know how big it was. So he used this exact method. He actually... I don't think he used sticks. He might have actually used long sticks, but he might have also used Egyptian obelisks to do this. I don't remember which it was, but he, in Alexandria, he used one of these and measured the shadow, its big shadow, and then he went 787 kilometers north to a city called Aswan. Okay. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but
okay.
It's also in Egypt. And he measured the shadow there. And he found that the difference in the rays using some simple algebra was 7.2 degrees.
Okay.
And using some more algebra, he figured out that the radius of the Earth should be 6,263 kilometers. And so he thought this was pretty cool, and he wrote it down, and we have it in the archives. And it turns out the Earth's radius is actually 6,371 kilometers.
Damn.
So he's only off by 2%.
Wow.
And that was 2,200 years ago.
Okay.
Wow. So
he, that's pretty cool.
He actually was one of the first measurements of how large the Earth was.
Cool.
Using the fact that the Earth was round.
Yeah, wow. Just from shadows.
Yep, just from shadows.
Just from physics, basic physics. That's chapter one of your physics book. Okay, I think we have a comment here.
We have a comment from Rima.
Ooh. Hi, Rima.
Hello.
She says, love this. Stick with it. Ha ha.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Rima. All the way from New Mexico. It's the newest of Mexicos, some may say. Quick note for my American folks, 787 kilometers is 490 miles. That's the key takeaway from our homeboy Aristoteles. Okay.
All right, we have another comment.
Oh, okay.
From Christina.
Oh, okay.
AKA my mother.
Hi, Matina.
She says, cool information from Brian.
Yeah, and actually, Brian, thank you for mentioning that, Matina. I should have thanked you as well, Brian, because we were discussing a little bit about this beforehand, and Brian pulled that up himself. So thank you, Brian, for bringing that.
I did some work, yes.
Okay, so we have the Earth's shadow on the moon. We have the ships on the horizon. Sail! That's a song. We have star constellations. Sail. It's still a song. We have sundials, sticks in the ground. And then we have our next note. And those were all from this article, Popular Science, 10 Easy Ways You Could Tell for Yourself the Earth is Not Flat. The next one is a pretty easy experiment that I might want to try myself sometime. The higher you go, the farther you'll see. So basically what you do is you stand somewhere and you can see a great distance ahead. And if you take binoculars, note the farthest observable point that you can see. So hopefully you're standing next to a tall tree or a building. So you climb to the top of that tree or to that building and you do the same thing. You take your binoculars and you note what's the farthest observable point that you can see. And you should see that you see even farther. And there's a very cool little picture that this article from Popular Science puts along with this. And I, from my understanding of what B.O.B. was saying, is if he did this experiment somewhere more or less cluttered than Manhattan, he probably would have been able to do this exact experiment without knowing he was doing that. But so basically, if the Earth were flat, you would see to the same point regardless of what height you were at. Before we take the comment, do you have any follow-up on that, Brian?
Yeah, a little bit. So the you can actually, this is interesting. You can really easily see the curvature of the Earth if you, I mean, you can just go on YouTube and look at any sort of science balloon experiments. A lot of people, you can actually buy a small balloon that'll go really high up into the air, and you can attach a GoPro on it, and when it gets higher, you can really clearly see the curvature of the Earth. And my favorite example of this is actually this guy, Felix Baumgartner. He, in 2014, participated in the Red Bull Stratos challenge, I guess. And he broke the world record for free falling.
Right.
And he jumped from the stratosphere at 71,000 feet. And from all those videos and everything, you can clearly see space and how you can see the whole Earth actually in the shot that they have.
So he had a video attached to him when he did
that. They had many videos everywhere. Okay, so he had one on his helmet. They had one on this. He jumped out of this like pod kind of thing that they put up there. And so he had a space suit on and was able to. He blacked out during the fall, but regained consciousness and then went through all of his maneuvers to get himself settled right, and then pulled his parachute and was completely fine.
Wow.
It was pretty cool to see. But Yeah, the International Space Station, too, is in space, and you can see how the Earth is a sphere from that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it just it baffles me at how people can
defy all
this.
Yeah, so the pictures thing, that's one of the last notes on this article, but from the commonality that I seem to hear is NASA lies, you know, the government is lying, NASA lies, and they Photoshop these pictures.
Giant conspiracy.
It's a giant conspiracy.
They have so much to gain from flatness of the Earth.
Yeah. All right, so the next point, because that is...
Comment.
Oh, we have a comment here.
So from Karthi, he asks, could you talk about the Foucault pendulum? Is that how I say it?
Yes. Okay. So this is an interesting...
Saw at the Griffith Observatory, but not exactly sure how it works. So if you could explain that.
Okay, so this is a giant pendulum. For people who may not know what that is exactly, that's a weight on the bottom of a string. And so typically these are very long, maybe like 10 feet, something like this. And okay. So what you have is you have a string. They usually use metal for stability, but they put a ball at the end of it and also a stick coming out of the ball on the bottom. And so you put this pendulum in the middle of, you can do a lot of things with it. It actually makes for some pretty neat art. You can put it in like a sand pit, but the typical experiment is you put it in the center of a circle and you have a bunch of sticks on the outside of the circle. And so you can let this string go, and because of its length, because the Earth rotates pretty quickly, and if it was flat, it wouldn't be rotating necessarily, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
So since the Earth is rotating pretty quickly, throughout the day, this pendulum will kind of go back and forth, and I forget exactly the time period. It might be 24 hours. It might be. That would make sense that it's 24, but it's supposed to hit every stick along the way as it goes back and forth. And so the art part of it is you can make it go into sand and it'll draw a nice little pattern it's a mathematical pattern based on
the gravity or something.
Yeah, based on the gravity of the Earth and how fast it's spinning. And you can check out these patterns on Google. They're pretty neat. Some people do other interesting things with them, but the main purpose of the experiment is to show that the Earth is indeed rotating.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So,
That's pretty cool. Thank you, Karthik, for that comment.
Thank you for that comment.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, and once again, this is for the Healthy Schmelty podcast, and I'll have show notes in the episode. I'm definitely going to include the Foucault. Is it Foucault pendulum?
I forget how it's spelled.
It's the fuck you pendulum, and it draws patterns.
That's rude.
It draws patterns, and I'm going to have an image of the patterns in the show notes as well. And thank you, Karthik, for that comment. And actually, just going off that, because this is sort of touched on by this article here. Once again, this is 10 Easy Ways You Could Tell for Yourself the Earth is Not Flat by Popular Science. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, just going off that Foucault pendulum. So gravity. Gravity is actually one way you could tell, kind of going off of that pendulum and the sticks idea there. Gravity pulls objects towards the center of mass. I'm probably going to need your help on this one, Brian.
Sure.
And just for the benefit of the Facebook Live folks, once again, because we've had to reset a couple times, Brian, you studied physics and...
Physics and astrophysics, yep.
Yeah.
From U of M.
Right. So that's why he knows things about the fuck you pendulum. Okay. So gravity pulls objects towards the center of mass. So if the Earth were flat and if you weren't standing exactly in the center, then things would be pulled towards random directions depending on where on the flat surface of Earth you were standing. So depending on where you were standing on Earth, you'd be pulled towards the gravity would be pulling you towards the center of mass a different direction. And so because that's not happening, Earth has to be spherical, because no matter where you're standing, gravity is pulling you downwards. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
An interesting side note here is that the reason that objects are spheres and planets are spheres and all these things tend to coalesce in spheres is because a sphere has the most surface area per volume. So nature likes to be in kind of steady state formations, if you will. And so the sphere is the most stable formation. If you have, you can see some of these images from the International Space Station. They, they'll let out some water out of a container, and it'll kind of float around because there's no gravity. But all the water, individual water droplets, will always form into a sphere, and that's not because of gravity. That's more because of surface tension. Mm. But the same principle applies to both gravity and surface tension, is that you have more surface area per volume. And so,
okay.
Yeah, gravitationally, it's everything goes, you know, towards the center. So, yeah, if the Earth was flat, I can't even think how gravity would work in that kind of situation. It would be really random, unless the gravitational force was always down on the whole thing evenly throughout.
Right.
Then it would work in that way.
Right.
But
so there's
no mechanism for that physically in physics.
Right.
To do that.
And so as I mentioned earlier, this Popular Science article that I'm reading all these things off of, they have helpful images with each of these examples, and they have an image of what things would be like if the Earth were flat. Kind of like what you're saying, essentially what it would be like, because you'd always be pulled towards the center. If the Earth were flat, you'd always be pulled towards the center. So it's almost like if you were rolling a ball around like a small plate or something around, like it would always be like spin. You'd always be spinning basically towards the center of the, until you got into the center of the thing. So there's helpful images like that in this article. But just to cap it off here, this is from our homeboy Isaac Newton and his law of universal gravitation. And so for those keeping score at home, Brian's my homeboy, Karthik's my homeboy, Aristotle's my homeboy, Rima's my homeboy, and Aristothenes is my homeboy. Did I say that right, Aristothenes?
Probably.
Okay, so that was gravity. Okay, so the next way you can tell for yourself the Earth is not flat is airplanes. So when you're in an airplane, I'm not exactly sure how much we need to dwell on this, but if you're in an airplane, oh, okay, so you
no,
do
go
have
ahead,
some,
go ahead.
Something here?
Yeah,
okay.
I have something to add later.
Okay,
go
cool.
Ahead.
So basically all this article bullet point here is saying is when your airplanes can travel in a straight line for a very long time and not fall off the side of the Earth. I'm not sure exactly what flat earthers, and actually, there's an International Flat Earth Society.
Yeah, I don't know how or why.
Yeah.
Or if I don't know if all the people in there are serious, or if they're just kind of like, hey, I'm part of this, and it's funny, and self-entertainment kind of purpose, but they seem serious enough. They do, like, they have their own website, press releases, meetings, all this stuff. So.
Okay.
Very, very weird bunch of folks, but...
But yeah, so I don't know if you flat earthers are flying, but if you do, you may notice that these planes can travel in a straight line for a very long time and not fall off the side of the Earth. And also, if you're in a plane and you stare out the window and you look at the horizon, you can most of the time, depending on the topography or lay of the land or whatever,
pretty hard to do when it's cloudy.
Right.
Usually when I'm in a plane, you're always flying above the clouds and it's just clouds for miles and it's kind of hard to see. If you have a nice clear sky, it's pretty easy to see the curvature.
Right.
And you have to have a window seat, of course, you know.
Right. Just personally, I've noticed that too. When we're flying, even like where there's land or whatever, I can't really tell the curvature. Where I've noticed it the best is flying to like India.
Yeah, over the ocean.
Over the ocean.
To see.
Yeah, you see the curvature.
So I think airplanes actually are one of the most definitive examples of why the Earth is a sphere.
Go on.
Let's ignore all the images we have from space. If we never went into space and we just had airplanes, we would still know the Earth is circular because of the airline industry. So the airline industry is a $360 billion a year industry.
Wow.
And with that kind of money, and you know, you've flown in airplanes. They always charge you for all these different things, and they're always trying to manipulate how much money they can make and all this
stuff. Fucking airplanes, right?
These guys at the airline industry wouldn't fly in what's known as the Great Circle Route if the Earth was not a sphere. So what the Great Circle Route says is that this is a geometric property of a sphere, is that when you have two points on a sphere, the closest, the best way to get from point A to point B is to fly over one of the poles because it's closer. If you fly around the equator, let's say, you'd be traveling much, much longer distance. So if you ever look at your flight plan or anything, you'll always see that you're flying north and then going, dipping back down south.
Makes sense. Fuck you, planes again. thank you for your travel service.
Planes are awesome, man.
Planes are awesome, but it is way too expensive. Dude, it's like freaking like $300 to get from here to New York. It's like, come on. It's like right there. Okay. Anyways, the next topic here from Popular Science, 10 Easy Ways You Could Tell For Yourself the Earth Is Not Flat. So, when we acknowledge that there's other planets in our solar system, it would be safe to assume the characteristics we're observing in the other planets would be shared by our planet. And I didn't really know what else to say other than that, but I have a direct quote here from my homeboy Galileo. In 1610, Galileo observed the moons of Jupiter rotating around it. He described them as small planets orbiting a larger planet, a description that was very difficult for the church to accept as it challenged a geocentric model where everything was supposed to revolve around the Earth. This observation also showed that planets Jupiter, Neptune, and later Venus are all spherical and orbit the Sun. A flat planet would be such an incredible observation that it would pretty much go against everything we know about how planets form and behave. Kind of touching on what you were talking about, Brian, about gravity. It would not only change everything we know about planet formation, but also star formation, as our sun would have to behave quite differently to accustom a flat Earth. And what we know about speeds and movements in space. So pretty much if the Earth were flat, we would have to rewrite our science books, and you would have to go back to school.
Yep.
For your physics degrees. Okay, and the last point here, the existence of time zones. So currently it's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the sun is falling soon. But in India, it's approximately 6 a.m. or maybe 5:30 a.m., and the sun, if it hasn't already, is about to rise. So the world has to be round. Otherwise, we would all have the same time.
We'd all have the same daylight, yeah.
Yeah, it would be daylight the same place everywhere.
How would we have night? I don't even know.
That's actually a really good point.
If the sun still revolved around some flat Earth, then we would all have day and night at the same time. But
how would we have night?
Yeah.
The sun dips and comes back up.
Yeah.
And I think that's all we have for this article. Once again, I'm going to put everything that we discussed here today in the show notes, including the fuck you pendulum and the International Space Station images and Neil deGrasse Tyson's quick guide to astrophysics. I don't have the full title.
Yeah, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry.
Yeah, there we go. And Brian, thank you very much, my man, for joining me today.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
In my hot recording room.
It's a sauna in here.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you all very much for listening. Thank you for everyone who joined with me on Facebook Live. In particular, my homeboy Karthik, my homeboy Rima, and my home mother-in-law, Matina, who I call Matina, but her name is Christina. Thank you very much to my lovely wife, Vanessa, for helping with managing the video. And thank you all for listening at home and around there. And everyone, take care. Thanks. Bye.